Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Harvesters. We are sure glad to see you this morning, even if it is through technology. It's hard to believe we only have three more Sundays in our summer series in which we've been looking at the core values of Perimeter Church, that being worship, belong, grow, and bless. And it seems like a lot of us have been around for quite a while, but even with that, I learned a lot, and I hope you felt the same way. But there's just two more weeks after this Sunday and our teaching today, and we'll then have a Labor Day break, and we will be then going back into our fall series and welcoming back John Musselman. And just so you know, I spoke to John this week. He is excited and anticipating coming back in September. And as far as his summer sabbatical, he has had a productive time. And for those of you who may not know, he's been rewriting a lot of the work on discipleship that he's developed over the years. It's a very deep study. And in his words, he's been doing a tremendous amount of research, which comes before his writing activity. But he just wanted all of you to know that he appreciates your prayers for him as he's been gone. And he thanks you for doing that. And he looks forward to seeing you all again. Now, also with respect to that, since we're nearing a change and a shift, we'll make sure that we send you a new updated schedule sometime within the next few weeks. We'll have a leadership team meeting and make adjustments for the fall, and then we'll send that out to you so all of you know what's happening. But today we're glad to be getting into our session on Bless. And it's not that often, unfortunately, that all of you contact those of us on the leadership team and tell us how much you enjoyed this session on Sunday. So we encourage you to do that. But I will tell you this, that our speaker today was one of those speakers from last year where we did have good feedback and a lot of it. And that's really good. That's a great thing. And so today we're really happy to welcome back Deborah Potter. In case you don't remember, Deborah is our Director of Community Outreach. And I think that one of the reasons that not only does she have this charming, energetic personality, which we all love, but one of the reasons that it was so important to hear her was related to what she does. And that is, when you're overseeing what we do as a church outside the walls of Perimeter Church, there is a lot of exciting and busy activity that goes on. And I would venture to say that probably 99% of us don't really know all that goes on within community outreach and how that your church is impacting the community where we live, work, and play. So I'm really excited to welcome back Deborah this morning. Let me open in prayer, and then Deborah will take over and lead us through some of what's been going on in community outreach in spite of the COVID-19 virus. So let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this new morning. We thank you for this new day. And we are always glad when we can be together, whether it's through this approach of technology or in person. We give you thanks for the skills of people who have developed such a tool that we've not missed a week in meeting ever since we were told we couldn't meet in person. So we give you thanks for that capability. We thank you especially for Deborah today and her staff, her department. We are just often overwhelmed by all that goes on within community outreach. And we pray that it might encourage some of us to even be more involved with what she does and what they lead. So we pray also for the church service to follow. We pray your blessing on Deborah and Jeff today as he speaks as well. And we thank you and give you praise in your name. Amen. Deborah, I will go silent.
Okay.
And thank you for being our teacher today.
Yeah, thank you guys. When I was asked to come back, I was so excited. I couldn't stand it. I can't believe how much has changed since I was with you guys last. That's what I really can't believe. But it's actually a perfect opportunity to come back and kind of tell you that even though the church building closed for a little while and we can't often be together right now. The church is still on the move in the community. And so I was telling Larry before we got started, I'm excited to be back because I feel like what we're hearing right now is a lot of bad news, but God's people and God is on the move in the midst of this crisis. And so I am super happy to be with you today. I'm Deborah, and I just kind of wanted, I feel like it's a unique opportunity to get to know each other. So I've been married to my husband, Todd, for 19 years. We have a daughter who's 13 and a little dog named Snowflake who is 7. Some of you may know my mom and dad because when they lived in Georgia, they did attend the Harvesters. They just celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary last year, and they are now residing in Arizona. So they took off to the West. I think they're regretting that a little bit because it was 116 degrees yesterday. So I'm not sure that they're loving that, but that's a little bit about me. I've been on staff for 15 years. I started off in facilities, and then in a couple years later, I moved over to community outreach, and that's where I've been for 13 years. On my team, if you remember from my presentation last time, we have Jenny Ortega, who's our resident, and she's moving into her second year. I have Jackie Dieter, who is our events and leadership coordinator, and then Sharon Looney, who is our ministry associate, and me. As you remember, community outreach focuses in four areas when we're looking at blessing the city. One is education, which is mentoring and tutoring, working alongside teachers and public schools and school counselors. In the area of poverty, which is things you would normally think of, homelessness, hunger, jobs, and things like that. And justice, which is child sex trafficking and refugee ministry primarily. And then family, which is primarily focused on foster care and adoption. And in all four of these areas, our prayer is that we can help move families and individuals from crisis to flourishing. We really want to see God on the move in their lives. So since we've talked, you know this timeline probably yourselves. You can see I started mapping things out and then just scribbled at the bottom because it's just been fast and furious. Things started transpiring in the community pretty fast in March. But I think the coolest thing that's happened is the community coming together to figure out not only short-term solutions, but long-term solutions together for the families in our community. Our perimeter family did not stop. They actually stepped up and immediately reached out and said, how can we help? We want to serve our neighbors. We want to love our neighbors. We want to meet needs in our community. What should we do? Community Outreach hosted a emergency food drive, and it was fun because we got to see so many members who were sheltering in place but drove through with food to drop it off to help meet needs. Food became an immediate need, as you all probably saw, with shelves being empty. We had a lot of high-risk folks who were fearful to go out, so we needed to deliver food. Our food co-ops were running out of food. When the school shut down, a lot of the families have children who receive food at school and were no longer receiving that. And as people lost hours in their jobs and were either laid off or furloughed, food became a real emergency. But it was really exciting to see perimeter on the move instead of being sheltering. Also, so we had to go out. I know the building was closed, but my team and many of our volunteers, and of course, all of our nonprofits were still open, business as usual, seeing an increase in their clients of over 300 to 400%. And tons of women at Perimeter started sewing masks so that we could go out and be safe. Not just for us and our volunteers, but for our nonprofit staff and the frontline workers, masks were delivered all over. It was just Amazing. The little girl you see on the left actually sewed so many she got tired one night and sewed her finger while she was sewing some of the masks. I think you're going to hear from her dad in a couple of weeks. It's Drew Warner's daughter, Grace. And so thankful for all the masks. As you can see, people dropped off food. People went out to serve with our nonprofits, even though as I was emailing you, you little stinkers were supposed to be sheltering in place and you didn't, but we were thankful for the extra hands. Trust me, it was intense. Those Easter baskets that you see at the bottom, if you remember from my last presentation, Community Outreach Partners with Children's Ministry, and during Children's Discipleship, they put together these Easter baskets that were going to go out to our nonprofits. And interestingly enough, we actually had completed them earlier in March and were storing them. And it was incredible to be able to get these in the hands of children during COVID when everything was shut down, things were pretty scary. It was really sweet to be able to deliver these baskets with the hope of Jesus in them. So we had hundreds of these baskets going out through our nonprofits, but we couldn't, again, have done all this without all of you. So we are so super thankful for you all. So in the midst of the crisis, we, in our area of food insecurity or poverty, you can see many of our nonprofits here. I think what I was telling the Kingdom Investment team just Friday was how proud I am of our nonprofits. They pivoted very quickly in the emergency to be able to meet needs in creative ways. So many of the nonprofits up at the top are food providers, and with COVID, in order to serve their clients safely and to be able to serve the hundreds of additional clients, most of them moved to a drive-through model for services. So families could come through and drive through. For our communities that are at the highest risk and don't have access to transportation, some of you might be familiar with Hope Through Soap. They do mobile showering, but instead of doing the mobile showers, they helped us deliver food to seniors, to people who did not have transportation to get food. Many of our nonprofits like Corners Outreach and Upper 90 Soccer and the Path Project helped bring food from the co-ops to their families. So everybody worked in unusual ways together to help care for the people in our communities. But all of them, when you go and talk to any of our executive directors, they really could not have done it without all of the generous donations and the volunteers who came out to help. We are so thankful for all of the help and the support. Rush missions this year, woo! It was different this year for sure. We had to cancel a lot of our projects. We had to do a lot of our projects differently in the community. We had to make sure that our students could serve in a very healthy way. It was exciting to be out in the community, and I know that all of our ministry partners love to have the students out there helping. So they did an outstanding job this summer, even though it was a lot of touch and go, I would say, with our planning. We did a lot of police appreciation this summer as well. Many of our police officers were serving on the front lines and really serving our communities in a huge way. As you know, we have police officers on site on Sunday mornings. Our police officers in Johns Creek do a safety presentation for our Perimeter Christian School students every fall, teaching them about safety and strangers and things like that. And Perimeter also allows the police to do emergency preparedness in our parking lot and on our grounds in order to better serve our community. And so we sent baskets to appreciate them this summer as well. In the area of education, as you probably heard, when the school shut down earlier this year, It has been quite a crisis with academics, with our little ones. As I shared with you previously, we already have a lot of our children who are behind academically. And the nonprofits that you'll see listed here had to quickly change their models in order to serve their students. And it just wasn't a matter of getting them technology so they could be with them virtually. But it was also how to train them on how to use the technology in order to interact with their kids. So by leveraging trusted relationships with these nonprofits, we were able to mobilize volunteers to help do virtual tutoring and mentoring. These nonprofits were also providing food for the kids because many of these families did not have transportation to get to the co-ops to get food. So for example, the neighborhood co-op, which changed their names during the pandemic. So it used to be the Norcross co-op, but the neighborhood co-op allowed, which is not usually normal, Corners Outreach to come and pick up food to deliver to their families. Many of the families were scared. They did not understand what was happening. And so having the relationships, the deep relationships with the staff and volunteers at these nonprofits allowed us to meet needs in these areas. I think I may have told you a little bit in my presentation previously. Over the summer, we know that children lose about 2 weeks of, it's 2 months of learning that they lose over the summer break. And so the first couple years of this, or couple, I'm sorry, the couple weeks of the school year, teachers use those 2 weeks to kind of catch the kids up and get them back on grade level. But the kids have been out of school for almost 6 months now. And it's going to take a lot of academic recovery to get our kids back on track. So these nonprofits have really, when I say work together, so if you're wondering what we've been doing in community outreach, we've been serving out with our nonprofits in order to better understand the needs and be on the ground so we can not just be with our executive directors and serve as volunteer staff for them. It helps us to know what's really happening. And because we don't work at these nonprofits, we can think a little bit higher and think about what longer term solutions will be. Since mid-March, there have been weekly calls for food insecurity, education, employment, and food resourcing and other supplies. So these nonprofits have not only been serving the children and families, even the ones on the previous slide with food, but they've been on calls to work together with other nonprofits, with the Atlanta Food Bank, with the Chamber of Commerce's, with business leaders, with county commissioners, everybody poised to be making long-term sustainable solutions for things that have been going on in the community. Often I'm asked, what have you seen God do in the midst of the pandemic? And I will say that the thing that has been the most exciting thing to me to see God on the move is prior to the pandemic, all of these things existed. In my previous presentation and our four focus areas at Perimeter Church, our education, poverty, justice, and family. And I felt like prior to all of this, they were things that were hidden in the dark that people like to pretend didn't exist. But once all of this happened with COVID, all of these things that were hidden in the dark, God brought into the light. And not only did he bring them into the light, but he brought his people together with their thoughts, with their resources, with their talent, with their passions, to be thinking, to be praying, to be working together in an unusual way. I can honestly tell you, after doing this for 13 years, if COVID-19 had not happened, I don't think all of these leaders would ever have agreed to come into a space to think about these problems together laying down titles and what's in it for me and am I going to be in the newspaper because of, you know, what we do. Everyone has been coming together on these Zoom calls every week since March for the sole focus of really trying to help families flourish. And it has been outstanding. And I feel like I'm kind of jumping all over for a minute, but all of you know that at Perimeter Church, we have Kingdom Investments, which is our grant making arm. We give out millions of dollars out to these nonprofits. And the other reason I'm so proud of what we've done is Kingdom Investments, to get a grant is not easy. There is a lot of due diligence that's done. These nonprofits operate with outstanding stewardship. Their staffing is on point. Their boards are together. And I feel like because of the rigor we put them through for Kingdom Investments, they were prepared to receive grants from the CARES Act funding, from all of these other philanthropic organizations recently giving grants like the United Way and some of the big foundations in town. I feel like our faith-based nonprofits were prepared because of the process that we've had them going through all of these years to prepare them for such a time as this. They have been the standout choice to receive grants. There were different waves for the grant funding during COVID-19, and ours received funding right from the first wave because they knew how to fill out a grant application. They knew how to report back. They knew how to put their financials together to present it. They had a board that was poised and ready to have time to be able to prepare the documents. So you should know that our nonprofits, even though they're faith-based, they have been the first choice for the whole community to turn to them to help meet these critical needs. And that's just a testament to their hard work and the excellent way in which they run. Another thing that we did during COVID is we realized that for a lot of our little ones in preschool and new kindergartners, there was really very little way we could reach these little ones. And so we worked through some of our other nonprofits you saw on the previous screen, and we partnered with the public schools to find out how we could reach these little ones and help them stay on point academically. One of the challenges facing our schools right now is kids are not registering for kindergarten. So there's an unknown in how many children should be coming for kindergarten. The other thing is digital learning is not good for little ones because they need manipulatives and to color and to do all these things. And so we partnered with the public schools to figure out what these little ones would need. And then worked through Corners Outreach, Path Project, Salvation Army, Next Generation Focus, the Neighborhood Co-op, Duluth Hands of Christ, to get these out to the little ones in the families in which they serve. These are our most high-risk little ones. We can't afford for them to be behind even a half a year. And so that's a little bit more about what we were doing with that. We did have our Summer Serve Day this year. It was very different than years past. Usually we have hundreds of volunteers help us get everything ready for back to school, but we were not able to do that this year. But we had a lot of volunteers still come out and help us, socially distanced, masked, small groups. And we are super thankful for that. We had some of our families invite neighbors to come and volunteer with them. So we're still reaching people who have not found a church home yet, but invited them to serve at the Summer Serve Day. And it was a great stepping stone to invite them then to watch our services online. Some of the things that we know is happening and the long-term consequences are still not known. I'm trying to keep it light, but there is some bad news. We know many of these things are on the rise. I spoke to our executive director at a Beacon of Hope And she is, reports that they are seeing so many more clients because people have had nothing to do. There are a lot more crisis pregnancies occurring, and they're coming to a Beacon of Hope for help. We also have reports that child exploitation and trafficking is on the rise. And when we recently had a meeting with our school counselors in the Norcross and Meadow Creek clusters, with the intent of talking about what kind of school supplies do the kids need, how can we help support your teachers, and what else can we be helping with. And when they shared their hearts, their biggest concern is the child abuse and neglect. They have not been able to put their eyes on the little ones, and they're not really sure what they're going to face when those kids come back in person in the near future. And so that is their number one concern. All of these things on this slide and the previous ones, but these in particular, since they're so unknown, if you would commit to laboring in prayer with us for these, we covet your prayers. So please be praying for these. Some of you may know that Community Outreach received a Family Flourishing Fund. These were strictly to be used for the critical needs for COVID-19 and the aftermath of the things that are happening. We initially deployed funds to help with the food crisis that we were facing. The second wave of, and so we did this through our nonprofits. And then the second wave is for evictions. There is an eviction moratorium right now, but that does not apply to people living in extended stay hotels. And many of you know that our homeless live in extended stay hotels, and we're not given the same security as those living in apartments. Even our families living in apartments are still receiving nasty letters from their landlords saying that they're going to kick them out, even though they're not allowed. But some of our families do not understand that or know that. So some of our funding went to keep families housed. It allows us to better keep track of where our children are. And then a grant we just recently gave was for jobs. We are trying to rapidly reemploy people as we have lots of jobs available. The challenge is moving people from jobs that are not going to come back after COVID-19 and help coach them and get them ready for jobs that are going to exist and are increasing in our new reality because of COVID. So what's next? Well, we thought recovery was going to come a little bit sooner because we, as you know, we moved from crisis to self-sufficiency. And in the midst of a pandemic, we're looking from going from crisis to recovery and how we can help best be in the lives of our families and help them move now into jobs, into school, and all of the things. The grant that I just shared with you about is through one of our nonprofits, Georgia Center for Opportunity. Many of you may know or have heard Randy Hicks, who is a Perimeter member, speak. They have an initiative called Hiring Well, Doing Good, and they're putting people to work. The breakdown that has typically happened previously in helping people get jobs is, we do a career fair, we do their resumes, we do the practice interviewing, but nobody really following up on, if you didn't get the job, why? Was it the way you interviewed? Was there something lacking on your resume? Did you show up late? What were the barriers to employment? And so this model will help us really be able to get people back to work. I will say that in all of the communities, business leaders and chambers of commerce, they want people going back to work, and they're working together to make sure that there's more marketing so that people are aware of jobs being available. And they're pushing those out through our nonprofits like the Norcross, CLOOP, Duluth Hands of Christ, Salvation Army, so that people are aware. But Georgia Center for Opportunity is really helping them land those jobs for sure. Eviction prevention. So this is really where all of our co-ops come in. The moratorium on evictions is still in place. The magistrate judges are not hearing cases right now, but they will come back through. When they start going back through, all the months that have been missed will be due unless a deal has been worked out with a landlord. So all of our nonprofits have been communicating with landlords collectively so that they can broker deals on rent when that eviction process can go through. The other thing that we have going on is we have Home First Gwinnett in Gwinnett County. It's an assessment center. So that is actually, the housing piece is not running, but the assessment piece is. And so we're getting better data on why people are homeless, how we can help them, what some of the challenges and barriers to housing they have. And so that has been very helpful. Our kids are back to school, virtually, some of them, actually most of them right now. And so as you can see, our nonprofits are doing an outstanding job of pivoting. You'll see in the picture on the right, they're getting devices. Large amounts of grants have been given out into the community through the United Way, through the CARES Act funding. And our nonprofits are helping train parents and students on how to use those devices so they can participate academically. Some of our nonprofits are still doing in-person tutoring because just like all of us, everybody learns differently and some of our kids need that face-to-face support. And so some of them, as you can see on the top left, are still doing the socially distanced learning. And then you can see at the bottom, we are training teachers and volunteers on how to help kids read and do their academics virtually via Zoom and other applications. And so our nonprofits are really doing a great job of thinking outside the box so that they can still help their students. So what's to come? Food is still a huge issue. So community outreach will be running a fall food drive so that we can help our food providers be able to meet the increased needs. We're still partnering with Perimeter Christian School on their service project days. However, that will look different this year. We mobilize the entire school to serve three times a year. And one of the biggest projects that we have is we serve 16 of the assisted living or senior centers that are around Johns Creek. And unfortunately, we're not able to go into those facilities right now. So a lot of the opportunities will be virtual this year, or families will be helping create their own projects with our help so that they can serve. And everyone, we want everyone to continue to do what you're doing. I would say the most, well, besides the community coming together, I think what I love the most is the fact that our congregation, because of the journey that we've been on, the Love Where You Live, the city ministry teams, you know, knowing that God placed you in a place where you live and work and play for a reason, it's been exciting to see all the different ways our members have been serving. And it's not anything that we orchestrated. You all have been meeting needs with the people around you, whether it's moms finding fun ways to do scavenger hunts virtually in the neighborhood, or it's been shopping for a neighbor who's quarantining at home next to you, or like you saw before, sewing masks for others, doing your own neighborhood food drives. It's been so amazing to see you all do it on your own, whatever meets the needs best in your community. It's been so exciting to see. If you know somebody who has jobs available, Perimeter Church has a Crossroads Career Network. If you would get those jobs that you know of to our career network, it would help re-employ people so that they can have the dignity of work again. So if you or a neighbor or someone you play golf with has job openings, be sure to get that information so that we can get people employed. People want to work. They want to be able to provide for their families. It is the biggest stressor right now in our community. So if you know of any jobs, please pass them along. Again, always, we are always thinking big. I mean, we want to eliminate child sex trafficking. We want every child to have equal access to education. We want all these things. We don't want people to have to go to the co-ops for food. We want them to have jobs. But we need to start small. And right now, because of the crisis we're in, I think I've told you before that that community outreach is not looking to always be in that crisis point, but we are in a crisis right now. But so we're going to start small by doing the little things, by giving food, by giving clothes, by helping with rent and utilities, by getting people jobs. And we're going to move along that continuum, but we're going deep. We're going into people's homes. We're shopping and building relationships. I think the reason that I have loved the unique opportunity to go deeper with my neighbors because of the crisis, because of starting small. The starting small by just building relationships with the people around me, smiling at my checkout worker and asking her how her day's going. But now it's given a unique opportunity to go deeper with all the people in my life. So be praying and thinking about the people that you could go deeper with right now that are unchurched, that need hope. We have people who are feeling very isolated and alone. Invite them to join us for Tuesday night prayer. Invite them to join us online for worship. The information is not always clear out there. So invite them into a space where they can feel loved and connected. The wonderful thing about Perimeter is we've always had discipleship where we're battling together for each other and for the people in our community. Plus now our city ministry teams, where we have a unique opportunity to be right in our city, helping meet the critical needs in our city through serving, through praying. And honestly, all of these things require prayer, because I tell my team all the time, I never know what's happening from day to day, but I just hold all the things in prayer and ask God to give us wisdom and the flexibility to meet the needs wherever we can. So thank you. You'll see on the left, this was early on, you'll appreciate this. Sandra Watt was a volunteer at Duluth Hands of Christ. And when you found toilet paper, man, it was gold. Like, you ran it over to the co-op. And then you can see here, Perimeter Women's Ministry was really the one championing the masks. And so, like I said, we had hundreds of masks. And then we got emails from some hospitals that were like, oh, thank your people so much for bringing food. Well, we did not know that Connect groups were actually sending boxed meals over to the frontline workers at Emory Johns Creek Hospital, Northside Forsyth. You all just did it. So thank you so much for loving and praying for your cities. I know in this format, it's hard to do questions, but you can always email questions to me. Feel free to send me any questions you have. And Larry, do you want to jump on and say anything?
Deborah?
Yes.
I'll just say thank you for the update on what's been going on through the COVID months. And we really appreciate you being here with us again. It's been, very good for all of us to get a greater perspective of how your organization, how our church, and how our parishioners have adjusted to what's been going on. All the work that's gone before this crisis paid benefits. And so I think for us as a class, seeing how we serve through a time of great unknown and yet effectively serve was very, very important. So thank you for that. And thank you continually for what you guys do. It's been exciting for us. Just remind us, how many different nonprofits do you work with? Not necessarily day to day, but in total.
Yeah. So we have a network of about 40 nonprofits that we work with. The 40 are in relationship with us on those continuums in the four different areas. They've either received a Kingdom Investment grant or they receive monthly financial support. We have 15 of the 40 that we that receive monthly financial support, and they don't receive a large amount of financial support because we don't like to create dependency, but because we do a lot of mobilization of, like you saw, Rush Missions, Perimeter Christian School, discipleship groups, we know that there is a cost to our nonprofits to mobilize on a day and time that we say. And so those are our closest relationships that help us deploy our people just at the drop of a dime. We do not duplicate our relationships unless we don't have somebody covering that in one of our 10 cities. For example, Duluth Hands of Christ serves Duluth. North Fulton Community Charities serves Johns Creek, Alpharetta, Milton, and Roswell and such. You have North Gwinnett Co-op that serves Buford, Suwannee, Sugar Hill. So in some of the areas, we do have this a similar nonprofit, but it's only because we have members there who will be deployed and their neighbors will be served through those nonprofits. So that's why 40, it's not just to have so many, but it's really to be able to help our members love where they live and care for their neighbors and get resources for them.
Well, it's I think that's great, because I think the fact that you're adding a management aspect to the distribution of service through the communities is really something needed. I think so many nonprofits, they work in their own little vacuum. And so this is a great service of broadly managing the activity so that it's more efficient. And I think that's really, really needed. So that's a benefit we don't talk about too much with respect to what Perimeter does. And that's really great to get an update on that. How, just help us with one thing. We often hear a number about how many different nonprofits the church works with in general. And I think I hear a number of 200 or more, whatever the right number is. But not every one of those is necessarily part of you, or could you touch those? How does that actually integrate?
The internal ministries?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, honestly, most of the internal ministries are a huge benefit to what we do in the community because they offer resources. For example, I can't tell you, I very rarely connect with the Crossroads Career Network, but we've been emailing so much in the midst of this. It's been crazy. And as many of you heard, we have a mental health crisis going on right now with adults, with teens. Caring for not only you all, our whole congregation has suffered a lot of loss, whether it's young ladies who I actually saw in the food drive-thru who are so brokenhearted that their weddings were canceled. They had dreamed of that day for so long and they had to let it go. For those who lost loved ones who weren't able to have closure on that. For people who had new babies but couldn't have any family come, for people who had loved ones in the hospital who couldn't be with them, our congregation and the community at large has suffered quite a loss. And so our shepherding department has been a huge resource to the community because not that we're experts, but we've been caring for one another for a long time because Jesus taught us how to do that. And so we've been leaned on quite a bit to help put together calls, to help give resources, and ideas on how to care for people out in the community who have mental health crises going on, whether it's through law enforcement with the people that they're running across, or the schools with the families that they're serving, or nonprofits. So I would say that community outreach typically has not had a lot of intersection with some of the internal ministries, but now it's like, for example, we get to help plan Christmas every year. And it's so fun! I can't tell you, but it's gonna be so fun! Anyways, but yeah, we all work together, and it's actually really fun to do that, and now more than ever. So it's been great. I saw something from Jerry Black's. We do not, community outreach does not receive anything from the Deacons Fund. That's a separate, the Deacons Fund helps people within the congregation who need help. And I think you'd be surprised right now how many of our own are suffering from all that's going on as well. But yeah, working with the, oh, and with the deacons, I mean, although we don't receive funding from them, I would say that we work closely together, and I've been sending them on these calls, lists of resources come out. So as I've been hearing about resources, I've been sending them to the deacons, because if they need, if someone we're serving needs help with rent or senior services or whatever, I've been sending them all the resources so that they can have those not feel like they're out there alone. So like I said, even within the church, it's been wonderful and a great opportunity to be able to work more closely together. And my prayer is, even outside and inside, that we would do more of that, that this would be a more intentional step forward to make sure we're connected.
Very good. I don't know if anyone else has a question they might want to send through the chat box, but as usual, I think we've learned a lot about what's been going on. And once again, I thank you, Deborah, for your time and your willingness to help us out. Once again, Harvesters, we'll be back together next week, and the week following we'll have the break for Labor Day, and then we'll be into our fall schedule. So let's just pray and thank the Lord for this time together. And Lord, we give you thanks that we've had a little bit of time just to hear more about what you do through your people who are willing to step forward and serve. And we know it all is done by you. And we also know that you use our called and gifted and skilled people to go forth and provide assistance in your work. And so we thank you greatly for the work of Deborah, her team, and all the host of Perimeter people who volunteer, who give money, who give time and energy to all that's needed in our community to help it flourish. So we thank you for what's going on. We thank you for the city ministry work that will begin to launch later this fall. We pray for guidance as that goes forth and how that can best be done as we work to reopen our communities. And we look forward to the time after this when we hear the teaching of your word in just a little while at Perimeter Church. So we thank you for all that you're doing, both in our families and in our communities. And we give you thanks once again for the time we've had today. And we pray it in your name. Amen. Thank you, Deborah.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, bye, everyone. Thank you.